an Ananda front, casualties due to malaria were over 80%. The suffering was enormous on all sides. For the Americans, it could have been alleviated, at least initially, by better planning. But eventually, the topography and climate would still have exacted a terrible toll. By the time the Red Arrow men arrived in New Guinea in September 1942, U.S. Marine troops were already fighting a brutal, well-documented land battle at Guadalcanal in the Solomon Islands. The Marines had a superbly oiled publicity machine that kept them in the spotlight. The 32nd Division soldiers fighting in New Guinea felt forgotten. The American public in particular suffered from the misperception that, except for Guadalcanal, the South Pacific was a naval war with a few insignificant ground operations thrown in for good measure. By October 1944, they knew that General Douglas MacArthur, who had fled the Philippines, had returned 2.5 years later, keeping his promise. But they had little idea of what went on in the interim, which is to say that they had scant knowledge of the land war in New Guinea. Americans' lack of interest revealed a geographical ignorance. The European front, and the exception of Guadalcanal, they could comprehend. The vast blue Pacific with its obscure island nations remained a mystery. Yet the fighting on the island of New Guinea, especially the early confrontations at Buna and San Ananda, was every bit as fierce as that at Guadalcanal. General Robert Eichelberger, who would assume command of the 32nd, wrote that in New Guinea, everything favored the enemy. Casualties at Buna, in fact, were considerably higher than at Guadalcanal. On Guadalcanal, 1,100 troops were killed and 4,350 wounded. The cost of New Guinea's combined Buna-San Ananda-Gona campaign was 3,300 killed and 5,500 wounded. As William Manchester points out in his book American Caesar, if the difference in the size of attacking forces is taken into account, the loss of life on Papua New Guinea had been 3 times as great as Guadalcanal's. On New Guinea, as at Guadalcanal, topography determined everything. Tanks and artillery, which won the day in Europe, were rendered useless. In the matted jungles, men were forced to fight battles at point-blank range. Soldiers used anything that worked, grenades, fixed bayonets, and sometimes their hands. Eric Bergerud described the struggle as a knife fight out of the Stone Age. George Johnston, an Australian war correspondent, called it one of the most merciless and most primeval battles. As fierce as the fighting was, the terrain and climate were just as dangerous. General Hugh Casey, MacArthur's chief engineer, called New Guinea the ultimate nightmare country. Support units, he said, would face challenges without precedent in American military history. Before his first inspection of the island, he assumed that nothing could compare with Bataan and Samar, but New Guinea was in a class of its own. War, Casey told MacArthur, would be almost impossible to wage on the island. His warnings proved prescient. For the troops of the 32nd Division, New Guinea became the ultimate nightmare country indeed. Leonard Sill would later say, "All who were alive were so near death. Our briefing, before we began near Port Moresby, did not prepare us for what we were about to encounter. In the beginning, we were all young, healthy GIs, eager to conquer the world. In a matter of weeks, long before we met the enemy force, all of us had been transformed into ghosts of our former selves." Bob Hartman of Grand Rapids, Michigan, minces no words. "If I owned New Guinea and I owned hell, I would live in hell and rent out New Guinea." The first time Carl Smestad saw the San Ananda battlefront, he was convinced that it would be his graveyard. "God help us," he thought. "We're never going to get out of here alive." One would think that the 32nd must have been a division of elite fighters, or that it contained units of crack troops. Nothing could have been further from the truth. Although field service regulations specified all troops must be thoroughly acclimated before initiating operations, the men of the 32nd were not ready for the jungle. When it came time to send the division to New Guinea, a commanding general judged it soft and just barely fit for combat. New to jungle warfare, the division lacked even the basics for survival, prompting one military historian to label the soldiers of the 32nd the guinea pigs of the South Pacific. Men were not issued any of the specialized clothing that later became de rigueur for